How are you guys doing? I will admit there's a lot of new faces, and I mean not a ton, but there's definitely some faces I don't know your names, so forgive me if I don't know you, if I pass by you, but I hope you guys had a good week. I remember being in the youth group, and I just remember all the times I had as fun doing the activities and just doing certain things, and I encourage you guys just don't to forget and don't take those for granted, because sometimes we can just go through the simple things and just have those activities and certain things and enjoy them, but kind of forget in the past, and you become more grateful, I guess, as you, I guess, go on, and even after teen group. So take what you have, not don't take it for granted. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Before I get started today, while you guys are turning, how many of you guys have ever played telephone before? Okay, telephone. Okay, that's good. So usually you have, you know, multiple guys. Usually when we play telephone, it's you have this one person over here. He starts talking, and he's like, yeah, he starts thinking of what to say. He's like, oh, I got this really good thing to say. Okay, so he says it. So he says, he has a phrase. He tells the person, he's like, person, okay, I think I get what you're talking about. So he does that. The person, again, voices it to this person. The person right here is like a little confused, but he's still okay. He still is, okay, I'm going to tell this phrase. It's okay. It sounds a little weird, but I'm going to tell it to this next person. So he does that. And the person by the end, by the time it's the end, he looks down to the other person and is like, what in the world? What would you say? And you kind of, whenever you do telephone, you have these, depending on how long, I guess, the line is, by the time you get to the end, you have the person who's, what in the world is that? And you may be wondering, well, how does a person say something over here, get all the way over there, when they say it maybe even clearly and maybe even say it again, and get to something over here where they don't even say the right thing. They take away stuff, they add things to the phrase, or maybe they say something completely different than what was originally intended. In this passage, we're talking about the Pharisees. And, you know, all of us, when we talk about Pharisees, we think of, you know, all these hypocrites and stuff like that. And just before I read the main passage, I'd like to read a couple verses before. And it says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" And you think this is kind of simple. Well, okay, why aren't the disciples washing their hands? Something simple, and remember, they specified tradition of the elders, something that had been done like prior for, you know, a couple of generations, something that had been set as a tradition for them. And then when Jesus, this is how Jesus responds to them, responds to the Pharisees in response to what the Pharisees have to say. He says, "He answered and said unto them, 'Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things like ye do.'" The Pharisees had a continual problem of having a bunch of things that they did very well, but they forgot to back it up with something that was the most important. See, the Pharisees were emphasizing actions instead of their heart for God. See, verse 6, it says, "This people honoreth me with their lips." You know, how many times have you ever done something just because, you know, so I'm going to do this because, you know, you have a job at home, a chore, and you're just doing it at home, and how many of you like making your beds? And I don't like it either. It took me work to actually make my bed this morning. But anyway, whenever you're making your bed, it's just a chore that you keep doing, and you keep doing it, but you don't really put any, again, this is a simple illustration, but the fact is, we can maybe do our jobs or duties in a way that's not something that we can do it, we're not backing up with anything. We're just doing the simple things day by day. Whenever you read your Bible or pray or something like that, are you just reading it just to, you know, check it off your checklist? A checklist, you know, you pray, you wake up in the morning, do this and do that, and then you think the Lord is pleased with you just because you just did the action. The Bible doesn't command us actually to even do that. You see, the Pharisees, actually, I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, before I hit that. And we think of David. David is a psalmist here, and he's talking about, and you know, David was a man after God's own heart, a God who, a person that the Lord really respected. And he wants people like David, look what he says in verses 6. It says, "Sacrifice and offering thou dost not require, desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You know, David, understand, he could have done sacrifices, offerings. You know, he could have done burnt offerings and stuff like that. And that's what the Lord had commanded the Israelites to do. You know, a lot of times we can, this is something that the Lord said to glorify him. But look what he says. This says, the sacrifice and offering, that's not desire. And it's weird because he's saying, well, why doesn't he require those? Because the Lord wants us to do what we do because we learn to love him. I delight to do thy will. Do we delight to do the Lord's will in our lives? And that's just simply going, getting up in the morning, maybe. Doing the simple things right. Getting up, doing your devotions. Not just reading, but actually putting your heart and applying it to yourself. The Pharisees, you see, they were so consumed about their actions that they inevitably lost their personal heart and love for God. You see, the problem is when you just keep doing things just because you want to keep doing them, the fact is it's going to turn your heart away from the Lord. You're going to start losing your love for the Lord. And that's what he's talking about in Revelation. He's talking about the Ephesians. You have lost your first love. A lot of times that can happen to us. It can happen to me. And it has to be a daily commitment to follow the Lord. It can't be just something, well, ooh, I got the Lord convicted me and I think I fixed that. So I think I'm good for a little bit. It's a constant. This is a renewing of your spirit day by day. It's a constant process. And you may think, wow, that's a lot. I don't know if I can do that. But the fact is, the Bible, the Lord has given us the power to keep doing that day by day by day. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." See, what was the first commandment? This is the first thing the Lord put in establishing it. He says, hey, if you can learn to love the Lord with all thy heart, then the sacrifices, the burnt offerings, all those other things will come. All those other things will come, and you'll be delighting to do those things instead of just making it a process you do day by day. But not only that, not only were the Pharisees emphasizing actions instead of their heart, but the Pharisees were also following traditions of men instead of God's word. In verse 6, again, it says, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites." In verse 7, it says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." How many of you think the Pharisees didn't know anything about Scripture? That's right. They actually memorized Scripture. They memorized books of Scripture. They knew a lot of Scripture. But the fact is, they maybe knew Scripture, but they never took it to heart. They never applied it to themselves. In fact, in Isaiah 29:13, a passage which Jesus was referring to when he's talking about Isaiah prophesied of you, look what it says. It says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Look, it literally says right here about prophesying of the Pharisees. I guarantee you the Pharisees looked over Isaiah, and I guarantee you they looked over all those Old Testament books and the Pentateuch and stuff like that. How do you almost look at Scripture and look completely over it when it's talking about you? How many of you ever read something in your Bible before and it's just like, and it's a little like convicting thing in your heart when you read it? And the Pharisees, when they did that, either we don't know exactly what happened, but they didn't apply it. They didn't almost even acknowledge it per se, because they were almost disconnected from it. See, the Pharisees were qualifying and emphasizing their teachings and traditions as doctrine. Not only that, they were taking their own traditions and their own thoughts, and they say, you know what, I think this is what maybe the Bible says. And they say, I think this is a good path we should go and to, you know, keep the Sabbath day. You know, the Pharisees had a problem keeping the Sabbath day. They say, hey, well, you can't work this, and they couldn't. They took God's commandment over here, and they started adding things to it. And they started getting more, and they're adding things to that. And then by the time they got to the end, when Jesus comes along, he is criticizing them, not necessarily for their action, but their heart. Because a lot of times we can add a lot of things to our normal repertoire, but the fact is we're not backing it up with anything. We're not backing it up with a heart. So, Lord, am I doing this for you? Lord, I don't want to keep doing this, Lord, if I'm not going to keep doing it for you. They never thought about that. In fact, one of the main reasons why they kept adding things to their traditions, and you may be wondering, how or why did the Pharisees end up committing the sin of hypocrisy? Fact is, one of the main things was they feared the people. And one of the reasons why they didn't actually lay hands on Jesus immediately was because they actually feared the people. You see, their fear of the people was even greater than their hatred for Jesus at the time. They feared the people even more. Even though they wanted to kill Jesus so badly, they were so scared of what the people may think. And it even says in Matthew 21, verse 46, it says, "But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet." Matthew 23, verse 5, it says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." Speaking of the Pharisees. See, all they did for David, day by day, was just trying to please the person, these people. And they did a good job of it, too. They deceived a lot of people. They were able to put on a facade and say, man, you pray in the public places, and people see them, and it's like, man, they give money, they tithe. They do all these things. But look what it says in Proverbs 29, verse 25. It says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." See, whenever we try to please people, it's going to be tough. Something you're going to have to do every single day, because you got to keep doing it and keep doing it. And the Pharisees were able to do it. But the fact is, who are you accountable to in the end? The fact is, we're not accountable to maybe the person right next to you. You're not accountable to, you know, your friend or a family member. How about this little story kind of put in perspective how sometimes we go through life and we try to act in a way that looks for another's approval or to please those around us. It's a Yiddish folk tale, and it says, "An old man and his 10-year-old son were leading a camel through the desert. Their way was long, the sun was hot, and they were tired. They met a man who looked at them amazed. He says, 'How foolish that you both go on foot,' he said, 'when the camel was created to carry people.' Heeding the stranger's words, the old man mounted the camel, and his son followed on foot. A while later, they met a second traveler, who said, 'Have you no pity on your own son? He's still a child with tender feet. Look at them. They're all cut. How can a father allow his own child to suffer like that?' The father, ashamed, dismounted and set his son upon the camel. But a while later, they met a third traveler who cried, 'For shame! And in the heat of the day, too. A child has no right to ride while his old father walks.' So the old man hit on another idea. He and his son both mounted the camel, making themselves comfortable while the camel went on. But then they met a fourth traveler who threw up his hands in horror, abusing a dumb creature, making him carry a double load. 'Have you no pity in your hearts?' The father and son quickly dismounted. The father said, 'Well, there's no help for it. We'll just have to carry the camel ourselves. Though someone will probably come along and say that it's stupid. No matter what we do, we can't please all the world.'" And the fact is, he's very true. He's very right. You know, all you're going to do is going to keep pleasing the world. It's going to go all the way to your death, because you can't please everyone in this world. Same thing with the Pharisees. The reason why they felt they had to keep adding to their things, because they were trying to keep pleasing the people, keep adding things to what they were already saying in order to make themselves look better in the eyes of others. It can happen to us. We can add certain things, keep doing certain things, not because we want to, not because we have the right motive behind it, because we're just trying to make sure we're not being seen by those around us. We don't want to make sure people don't see around us that we mess up. We don't want to see people that we didn't slip here, we didn't fall here, because we're too scared or fear that. And that's why the Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." But the Bible says you don't have to carry that burden. The Bible says you don't have to carry that every single day, because it's a snare, it's a trap, it's a thing that you will carry for the rest of your life if you decide to carry it. It says, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." The fact is, if you put the Lord first, don't you realize that the Lord will help you when it comes in the area of reaching other people? In fact, it won't be something fake that you have to put on every day. It can be something genuine and real, and the actions automatically flow out. It's not something that you have to keep continually doing day by day. See, fear of people or the desire to please people can drive us to be something that we are not. We are hypocritical and fake when we start to find the strength of our spiritual walk from the views of others. Man may look good on the outward appearance, but God sees our heart. And in fact, that's the person we're being held accountable to in the day of judgment. In the end of judgment, you're not looking to your friend to see how good you are walking with the Lord. You're going to be held to God, looking him in the eyes. And if all you have to lay before his feet is wood, hay, and stubble, well, I'm sorry, you didn't do the right thing that the Lord actually commanded you to do first, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. But not only did the Pharisees have the fear of man that kind of inhibited, that kind of caused their hypocrisy, but I think one of the main things that really caused their hypocrisy was that they intentionally ignored Scripture for their own preferences and tendencies of what they thought to be right. Look in verse 8. It says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men." See, the Pharisees, they emphasize certain parts of Scripture while omitting or leaving out the rest. The word "laying aside" here means, has the idea to leave, let go, omit. So they literally took scripture. So you know what? They read a piece of scripture. They said, you know what? I'm going to set this aside. You know, I'm going to omit this part. And that's probably how they could look at Isaiah 29:13 and look at it and say, you know what? I don't know who that's talking about, but it's not me. We can look at a passage, maybe that's speaking directly to ourselves. The Pharisees set it aside. But not only did they just set aside scripture, but look here also. Ye hold the tradition of men. See, they intentionally latched on to their own traditions, things that they thought to be right. They held on to it. The word hold means to grasp, keep, lay hold. This is not just something, well, I'll take this on. No, they laid hands on it. They took it for being truth, fact, doctrine. And that's how they got so far off from the Lord. That's why they got so hypocritical, because they started right here, and they're willing to give a little way. And they grabbed right here. They grabbed their own tradition right here. And they kept going. And that's what sin will do for us. Yes, sin maybe not always being doing the wicked things like, you know, committing adultery or going out and doing the things of the world, maybe partying, whatever that may be. But, you know, sin can happen all right here, where we are sitting right now. Hypocrisy can happen right in your heart, and you can be, well, I think maybe this is right. I think this is right. But if you're not backing it up by what the Bible says, then you have no basis for going over there. See, we sometimes hold and follow the traditions of men without even realizing it. If the Pharisees were so blind that they could not even see their own shortcomings, then we have to be wary of our own hearts that we can do the exact same thing. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Fact is, truthfully, you're probably not going to see how your own heart is straying right now. Maybe if you're not doing the right things right now, the fact is you're probably not going to be able to see it unless you ask the Lord to help you see it. Because only through a spiritual light, only through the right light, can you see darkness. Darkness can't see darkness. It's kind of counterintuitive. You can't really... It's like, man, it's like cast the beam out of your own eye before you can see the beam in the other person's eye. We have to ask the Lord. You see, our heart is deceitful. Even the Bible says, who can know it? Meaning that we can't see it through our own selves. But then you may be wondering, well, how do we keep our hearts from becoming hypocritical and blind towards God's truth? Well, we need to do what David did. In Psalm 139, 23 through 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Are you getting up in the morning? Ask the Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Are you willing to give it up? Maybe you have something in your heart right now. Maybe you have a thing that you're trying to hold on to, and maybe it's not a bad thing, but maybe the Lord's convicting you on it. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see there be any wicked way in me. Are you willing to do that action, apply it, and genuinely ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I can maybe do to better please you? That's how it starts. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's doing your chores the right way. Maybe it's doing a duty, or maybe someone asks you to, your parents, or maybe asking you to do something, doing it with the right heart. Because if you're not doing the little things right, then how does the Lord expect you to go over there and do what he has for you in the future? If you can't get the little steps right, and how do you expect to go over there and do his mighty will for your life if we're not willing to say, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. See, we have to search the scriptures daily, like the Thessalonians did. You know, the Thessalonians, they could have listened to all the people around them saying, well, what this means, but they decided to search for themselves. And the fact is, you can't hear from people. You can hear what I'm saying. Maybe it's like, oh, that's a good thing. Well, and then stop for the rest of the week and not maybe do your devotions and just wait till the next Sunday to hear a good message or whatever that is. But the fact is, you have to do it yourself. The fact is, you maybe have the head knowledge, but the fact is, you're never going to truly understand what the Lord has for you unless you search for it yourself. You can't really live a Christian walk if you're not daily doing it, if you're not applying it to yourself day by day. See, it's easy to take something for face value, like, you know, from a preacher. But you will never truly understand, again, unless you take action and search for yourself. You know, so many times the reason why we rely on others for, you know, our help in doctrine is because we fail to take the personal initiative to search for truth ourselves. And I pray all of us learn the lesson to avoid the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. See, there's great freedom in knowing that your heart matches what you do. The fact is, we're standing before God, not the person next to you. If we but ask the Lord to search our hearts, he will keep us from following our hearts own will and intellect. Remember, we need to ask him. Otherwise, we'll become just like the Pharisees, hypocritical and fake. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for, again, another day you've given us. And Lord, I pray you'd help all these teens in here. Lord, I know they're some are rising seventh graders, and Lord, some are even graduating, going to college, Father. Lord, wherever they may be at, Lord, I pray, Father, that they would learn, Father, to go after you, and Lord, that they would learn to search after you, to go after you, seek you, Father, because, Lord, if we're going to be real Christians, if we're going to be Christians who do what's right and, Lord, love you and serve you, then we have to do the little things right, what you commanded us to do. Father, to love you, Father, with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Lord, help us not to be like the Pharisees, both hypocritical and fake, but Lord, help us to be real and genuine and sincere. And Lord, thank you again, Father, for the opportunity to be here tonight, today, this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just give us a good rest of our day and morning. And please help the morning service, and I pray this in your precious name. Amen.